probably one of the games.
We will call the Saturday, July 10th edition of the Lakeview Public Safety Subcommittee to order. We have a fairly long agenda today. They are all work sessions. It's the chair's intent to move these bills as expeditiously as possible. If there's anyone that really feels compelled that they want to talk, I will certainly entertain that. I'm trying to close debate or restrict dialogue in any way. Something one of my very good friends in this process is talking. So we will convene a work session on House Bill 3129 relating to assault, and we will have a report from staff.
Yes, committee members, place before you our package for each of the bills that are in the committee today. The first one that we're going to take up is House Bill 3129. Should be the first focus package to you. This is a bill that raises the assault for to a Class C felony. This bill, as it came to us, sort of raised that to an assault for on a this person had two prior offenses.
Larry, let me interrupt you. Some of our members have been sitting in Ed Sub all morning long. You want me to send out for pizza, pop? We've got it upstairs on the second floor.
Chocolate.
More chocolate. Yeah. More brownie. Good. Alright, well, we assume we're all 21 and weigh 100 pounds. Such an average. So, I'm sure what one is. The interruption.
I can move as fast as you like.
All right,
place before you the A5 amendment, which changed the fiscal impact on this bill to approximately $12,000 in this biennium, and has one amendment that changes it from a two prior to a three prior assault. It also contains language of it was in it when it came down here from the House Criminal Committee that deals with some definitions of immediate presence that we're not amending. So it's been approved for the co-chairs for passage at approximately $12,000 A901 impact with the A5 amendment.
Which is down. The A5 amendment to be adopted.
Representative Mannix moves the A5 amendment to be adopted into 3129. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Mannix.
I move that we instruct the appropriation and that the bill be sent to the full committee with a group act as amended.
Representative Mannix has amended or has moved that we insert the A5 amendments and incorporated the legislative fiscal report into House Bill 3129 and moves the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Carriers, President Mannix, would you like to stay on the House side? Senate side carriers? Senator Gordley and all carry the poll. Okay, we will adjourn work session on House Bill 3129 and we will convene the work session on House Bill 3110.
31?
Staff report.
3110 is what came today from the House Judiciary. It is dealing with manufactured methamphetamine. I have placed before you two amendments, the Dash 815s and the Dash 86s. I will keep briefly the HFTs. The impact of these HFTs is to require the Criminal Justice Commission to amend its rule to eliminate the optional probation for this this time. It has fiscal impact of approximately $56,000 in A901, and President Mannix has some A6 amendments that he might need to speak briefly to. For fiscal purposes, the only amendment necessary to the bill is to amend it to provide for a $56,242 allocation appropriation to the emergency board for allocation to the Department of Corrections after the April 2000 prison population forecast. And I guess it would be good for the committee to hear just a little bit of background on the A6 amendment.
Mr. Chair, are you ready for that?
Representative Mannix.
Mr. Chairman, the A6 amendments were crafted after this bill, or as this bill was already coming out of judiciary criminal law. We had brought to our attention that in mixing methamphetamine, or what's thought to be methamphetamine, it turns out that sometimes the formula technically is actually amphetamine, and the statute is incorrect in its definition, so this corrects the definition of the statute for the prosecution may proceed.
Great.
Let's see if Kathy's
ready to start
the
bill.
Just in the recap, it would be we would need to amend both the A6s, the A15s, and also add the appropriation to emergency funds $56,242.
You want to do that one by one, or you want to?
It doesn't matter.
You got them all?
I shall move.
Representative Mannix has moved we amend House Bill 3110 with the A6 amendment stated 526, the A15 amendment stated 79, and incorporating $56,242 reservation to the emergency board. So moved. Any discussion? Any objections? Let the record show Senator Cordley is a nay. I received a constitutional amendment or a constitutional majority. Motion is passed.
Yes. Chairman, I move the bill be sent to the full committee as amended.
Representative Mannix has moved House Bill 3110 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections?
Objection.
Let the record show Senator Gordon Lee is nay and hasn't received constitutional majority. He is declared passed and moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Senator Hamm.
I voted for that, but I have a question. Does the staff have an estimate of what potential other costs that the individual did? And I know you have a political impact statement there, but there's a lot of other ancillary costs.
Can I respond to that?
Or maybe I should wait.
Other ancillary costs that maybe wasn't considered in this. That's the only reason I raised it, is for the record. So if the sponsors or the committee sent it down here to help clarify for the record what was intended.
Let me parlay our knowledgeable committee and see if anyone would like to venture a response to that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you're asking about the A6, these are cases that are already being prosecuted and there are sanctions. It turns out as they go through the prosecution, they find out that if someone screwed up in their batch of what they thought was methamphetamine, they're still already innocent defense. There's still already the whole prosecution process going on. It's a matter of being able to tie in with this particular statute, and they may have to drop to another statute. From what I've heard from the DAs, this is an up-and-down issue, and there's no heavy stream of cases out there at this time. There may be a handful, so there's no discernible fiscal impact on that side. As to the overall bill, certainly indigent defense was a consideration in crafting this. And yes, these are tougher sanctions for the manufacturer of methamphetamine in the sense that the option of probation is being reduced. And more dealers will get the word, manufacturers will get the word that we are toughening sanctions on that side. I add quickly that in Oregon, unlike many, many states, we have very minimal sanctions for the actual possession of these drugs. You don't see much in the way of prosecution or sanctions, but we try to hit hard on the manufacturers and the dealers. And this bill is hitting harder at the manufacturers. It's becoming a very profitable enterprise, and we're trying to hit a little harder.
Yes, Chairman.
Fair hand.
Do you have a projection of what it's going to cost in additional or new appeals that currently are not there?
Let's let staff
Let me just talk on our comments. This is the most recent fiscal that I can find at this moment. She could speak to that as well. When the original fiscal was done on this, it was done with the mandatory minimum sentencing, and it was approximately $25,000 to $35,000 in terms of court cost operations and indigent defense for a much stiffer sanction than what we've got in the amended bill. The amended bill actually just reduces optional probation for what would ultimately be about a quarter of those that get probation.
Okay.
So it's significantly reduced from the initial.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to get an intent on the record that our intent is to look at everything, consider everything before we pass the bill out. I'm certainly willing to support it, but I want to make sure that we're not screening and potential enrollment costs the future sensitive legislatures.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Gorley.
With that said, though, I believe we are looking at some roll-up costs. If you look at 2001 and 2003, the impact on general funds is stated here as $498,960, but that is based on what was a limited response from prosecutors about how many cases there would be out there. So I view this as being a conservative estimate of where we are, and that there might in fact be more costs down the road, and I'd be concerned about the hit on the general fund.
I think in response to the big cost, the fiscal reflects regrettably accurately. I think Senator Hammond's line of questioning was the hidden costs that we're not seeing here, the indigent defense, prosecution, some of the other costs, which in my understanding really truly are quite limited, because most of these people are already in the pipeline. Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to state for the record, I think that we do need some fairly substantial deterrence for this. It is a huge problem in the state of Oregon. Optional probation only affects three lines across on the sentencing guideline grid. So you're catching people with substantial quantities of methamphetamine that not only are having such a large impact on what we do from jail space, but just having the multiple effects of the drugs that they're manufacturing on the community and on the community health is huge. We don't have any deterrence. Now these people just cycle in and out of the system. It's unbelievable. Senator Golden knew, but I was a drug prosecutor before I came here, and that's what I did. And I'd have people set up a lab, bust them, and, you know, they'd get out of jail in 6 months. They'd have another lab, and we'd bust them again, and, you know, it's just a vicious cycle. So I think it's different.
Now, Oregon is becoming, we're the epicenter of, you know, the methamphetamine world.
Jackson County was just declared, I think, one of the top three methamphetamine counties in the nation. In beautiful, sunny Southern Oregon.
That sounds like a good place to move a baseball team. Yeah, we need wholesome family entertainment down there.
One other comment I didn't get on the record, and that's that these are changes being made in the legislative fiscal with the approval of the sponsor and the recommendation of the chair.
Great. We can move it out. We're done. We're questioning after the fact. Okay, we will end the work session on House Bill 3110.
Two carriers.
We will reopen the work session on House Bill 3110. And get carriers. Representative Patridge,
we've all carrying full, but I think maybe Representative Winters would like to carry on the floor.
Carrying full. Very good. Senate side volunteers.
We'll back her up.
Senator Hannah.
From Drug County, USA.
Yeah, from Drug County, USA, going out to support the Oregon Health Plan. We appreciate your support, Senator. Okay, we'll end the work session on House Bill 3110, and we'll open the work session on House Bill 2394, Relating to Crime.
Thank you, Chair Westland. This bill also comes to you from the House Judiciary Committee on Criminal Law, where it passed out by the 4-3 vote. It takes before you today A4 to the A10 amendments to this bill. that have been approved by full care for inclusion into this bill. It has an approximate fiscal impact in this funding of $81,000 and approximate roll-up impact in the next biennium of approximately $1 million. They increased this amendment increases attendance to persons who commit certain vehicular homicides or assaults related to eluding a police officer or while driving under the influence. These amendments have been just provided by the chair of the committee referring this bill to this committee and approved by the sponsor of the bill. If these amendments are adopted, the only other change that would be necessary to address the fiscal aspects of the bill is to amend it to appropriate $75,284 to the emergency board for allocation to the Department of Corrections if necessary for population management issues related to this bill.
Sir, are all these beds in a correctional system in Oregon, or are some of these beds going to be contained in the counties under the provisions of 1145?
Sure, welcome, Senator Hannon. The primary bed impact is with the Department of Corrections. The $75,284 is for prison beds. There is a minimal increase in the probationary supervision grant for counties. That the roll-up for that would be $81,000 in the next biennium. I was trying to find the exact number of offenders in the counties, but it's a very minimal impact on the counties. What we've been basically doing with these bills, they go through if there's a threshold issue. If it's less than $25,000, either way, we're not disappropriating or appropriating for the county grant or for the debt impact.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the reason I raised the question is that I've had counties, or at least the county that I represent, expressing concern over anything else that mandates additional requirements upon their staff. My response then would be, Larry, was the money appropriated this session with a guarantee that it's going to be appropriated next session, or is it come May, come see, come saw, we don't know what's going to happen?
Senator Hannon, the way that the appropriation is in the past here was based on the forecast, April 1999 forecast. And we've made adjustments to the county grant if it, in fact, met or exceeded the $25,000 threshold that we're supplementing this biennium with appropriation. In next biennium, anything that's in that population will be included and will be funded based on caseload and inflation. That's based on the law.
And we're not breaking our faith or commitment on 1145, or we're walking away from any future mandates or missions on the local county justice program.
Sure, Westland and Senator Hannon, no. The way this is written is it does have an impact on the number, but it, the law is clear about what the baseline funding formula is providing here doing anything for
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? We need to amend to the 810.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt the 810 amendment.
To include the LFO report, certainly allocating $75,284 to the emergency board. As represented by LFO memorandum dated July 9.
Yes.
Representative Mannix has moved we amend House Bill 2394 to the 810 amendments to and include the $75,284 allocation to the E-Board, to the Department of Corrections, as is represented in the staff report, LFO staff report dated July 9.
Any discussion? Representative
Mannix. Just want to mention that I recognize that the 810 amendments also delete the unauthorized departure. There's a tremendous fiscal impact to that. It's unfortunate, but the reality is at this point we can't quite afford it. I would hope that we'd see a pre-session filing of a bill to do this. You know, we consider it as part of the budgetary mechanism. We need to toughen the sanctions for people who, in effect, walk away. Because we need to let them know that we take this seriously. So that's another tune for another day. The more important part of this bill right now is the attempting to remove. And please agree that we'll work out a package here that is doable.
Sure. Senator King, question of the president.
Of course.
I'm thinking back to the last session, and it seems to me we had a much bigger fiscal impact on funding bills and so forth last session than the previous session. Would that be a correct statement? I hope I'm right.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there are current bills and their effect, fiscal effect of session is much less than last session.
We've been very conservative in what we sent you.
Just may I go?
I still want to say I think there's a piece missing in this whole equation that we need to work on, and that's additional funding for district attorney capability. That is the bottleneck. That is the bottleneck in our system. But having said that,
I agree with the chair 100%. If I could mention that for the benefit of Senator King, we quite deliberately in the Judiciary Criminal Law Committee this session tried to work on what I call middle level and lower level legislation that's been ignored for many years that has less fiscal impact. It takes time to work out the nuts and bolts. And we've pushed out a lot of that stuff, if you will, and then tried to hold back on the heavy fiscal impact, recognizing the situation facing ways and means. Because of that, by the way, we're very pleased with the high batting average that we're getting as to what we are sending here, because we didn't just shove everything over to ways and means. We said, no, can't do that, but trim it back. And we've appreciated the co-chair's consideration about our attempts to not ask for too much. Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think there's some concern expressed in regarding this legislation about the first time offender of the 18 or
20 year old that's all of a sudden, I mean, the lights come up behind him, he's been smoking a joint or whatever, he panics, and off he goes and he kills someone. How is that handled under this bill?
Mr. Chairman, that doesn't apply here unless he's previously been convicted of a crime or has previously been convicted of a second degree and then he does it again and kills somebody. So then he gets caught.
Second allude.
Exactly.
Because when you say previously convicted of a crime, okay, is that
no, that's penis? It has to be previously convicted of attempting to elude, or you've already got there's some heavy other heavy crimes which are covered in the bill, in current legislation. But as to attempting to elude, you have to have had a previous conviction for that. And frankly, what I anticipate is from now on when people get that conviction, they're going to be told, if you do this again and you happen to kill somebody, you've committed murder.
Of course, the victim is just as dead whether or not we call it murder or not, but the idea is to get the deterrent message out. Attempting to elude after you've been convicted once for that same crime is a very serious situation.
I just want to clarify that because we're all capable of
snap decision, panic, pedal to the metal, and next thing you know, involved. Common sense isn't taking over, and we've all had, mistakes of our youth. Patrick continues to make them, but then he's still a youth. So, yeah.
But that's a good mentor when I went to
the yeah. Representative Patrick, do you have a question?
I'm sorry. A question for Representative Neal. I've just been trying to read through here. My question is in regards to the portion that appears to be in most of this has previously been charged, with driving under the influence of intoxicants in any jurisdiction has failed to appear on the charge and the charge is still pending. That means that a non-adjudicated charge, even if it's a good or bad charge, would make that person fall underneath the statute.
If they have a prior DUI.
Yes.
We are going to, don't go away. I know this is incredibly entertaining. We are going to recess the work session on House Bill 2394 for 2 minutes. 119, 118, 117.
On House Bill 2394, or do you want 3110?
Oh.
That's enough.
Never mind, we'll come back to that.
All right, so we're on 2394. I believe I moved that we already moved the fiscal recommendations on the A-10.
That is correct. Senator Gorley has asked that Mr. Lemon come forward to discuss some of the fiscal impact, I believe. Is that the answer to your question?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lennon. If you could, just for the record, talk about the assumptions that led to the cost estimate, the general fund cost in prison beds for 2001-2003.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gorley, there's basically three types of offenders or offenses, that we're dealing with. Any criminal homicide where the offender meets the criteria of this bill, whether they're eluding a police officer or driving under the influence, could now be prosecuted under four different homicide statutes: murder, two degrees of manslaughter, or negligent homicide. What this says is if you commit any of those crimes and you meet the eluding or the drunk driving criteria in this bill, then you can be prosecuted for intentional murder. And then the similar pattern, if you commit what is now an assault 2 or an assault 3 and you meet those elude or DUI criteria, you are eligible for an assault 1. If you commit what is now an assault 4 and meet those criteria, you move up to an assault 2. So that's the general elevation here. When we do these estimates, first of all, we look at how many people we think are subject to these laws, and then we try to estimate what we think, how we think the criminal justice system is going to handle them. So in terms of the big impact for the general fund and the committee that might be interested in is the assault force, because that we have about 40 of the 50 people we think are subject to this law are there. And you're moving those from what is now a Class A misdemeanor to a potential Measure 11 sentence, which is 70 months in state prison. And so we assumed, I think, that there, out of the 36 people, that one would get a Measure 11 sentence, a handful, four or five maybe, would get lesser prison sentences, but most would go to felony probation. And so that is our best guess and estimate about how prosecutors are going to handle cases of, with a jump of that magnitude. But that is an estimate, and if we're wrong, then you're going to see some more people going to prison.
Not less.
Could be less. We're assuming that the vast majority of folks are not going to get a prison sentence. And so I think if we are wrong, we're probably wrong on the one side.
Any questions? Thank you, Phil.
We have the amendments pending.
We have the amendments. So you're discussing the amendments and the fiscal, which has been incorporated into one motion.
Sure.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Manning has moved House Bill 2394-10 amendments, also including the fiscal report allocating $75,284,000 to the board for the Department of Corrections, and fiscal report reflected in the July 999 report by legislative staff.
very awkward, cumbersome motion, but I think it recapped, and I think it got it all. Any discussion of amendments to the bill? Any dissension? Seeing none, so ordered.
I move the bill to the full committee with a view pass as amended.
Representative Mannix has moved. Representative Mannix has moved House Bill 2394 as amended to the full committee with a view pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gorsuch.
Thank you. A question for Representative Mannix. What were the objections in the substantive committee?
Actually, the objections in the substantive committee from some of us were that this was too easy. Some of us started out with a bill that said any time you attempt to elude a police officer and you kill somebody, we ought to make it a serious crime. But we watered it down to say that you had to have a charge pending, or you had to have had a prior conviction for attempting to elude. The view of some of us was that the victim is just as dead, and you were intentionally violating the law by attempting to elude the officer. I think at the other end of it, the objection was that the attempt to elude itself is a lesser thing in the sense of trying to get away from the police with a vehicle. There was some testimony saying don't make such a big deal out of it, that you should just focus on the act at the time and not the consequences of someone's prior record. In the give and take, though, we amended this bill to come out with what I'll call a lower denominator, not the lowest common denominator, to address people in these particular categories who had certain prior records, and to limit it to that.
Thank you.
I'd also like to comment, I asked a question with regard to the second offense and the spirit of youth making a mistake that somehow ends up being, you know, a tragic circumstance ends up being compounded by, you know, some very onerous sentencing guidelines. And I mean, I knew that, Senator Gordley, and I just wanted that on the record again. I testified on behalf of this bill. I think they did take a pretty even-handed approach here. It's a pretty serious situation.
May I add something? Of course. We also had extensive testimony about how the police actually try to back off in these elude situations. They're trained to do that. They worry about the consequences, and they're concerned, though, that they also need to get the message out that even though they may be backing off, there's still some very dangerous behavior out there that's killing people.
Any further discussion? Any dissension to the motion? Seeing none. House Bill 2394, as amended, is moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. So ordered. We need carriers, House side, Representative Mannix. I think she probably carried it. Senate side. Senator Timms is jumping up and down, and
very interesting.
Well, I appreciate your volunteering. Okay, we'll end the work session on House Bill 2394, and we'll open the work session on House Bill 2002.
Chair Wesley, committee members, House Bill 2002 is a key felony for a person convicted of a fourth DUII within 10 years, and also reduces the felony driving while suspended and for revoked to Class A misdemeanors. I've placed before you the Dash 9 amendments, which have the effect of changing this to from two priors to three priors. That's a prerequisite for qualifying as a Class C felony. The fiscal impact as put before you shows you that there's significant trade-off that occurs when this occurs. The bill is set to have the DUII law change take place on December 31, 1999. The dropping of the driving while suspended offense from a felony to a Class A misdemeanor occurs on passage of this bill. So what you see here is the impact of approximately the negative impact, which is the savings, if you will, of community corrections grants, is approximately 980-some offenders who are driving while suspended, who receive currently probation sentences or either under local control or probationary supervision that will go to misdemeanor levels. The positive impact, if you will, of a $1.1 million in debt impact as a result of the DUII offenders that are projected to result in going into prison. As you can see, over the next two biennials, the net effect is a cost reduction. These amendments, if adopted, would result in disappropriation from the Department of Corrections approved budget for the Community Corrections Grant and an increased appropriation for their institution's operations. Actually, the co-chair requested that the funding for this be provided to the emergency fund until the April 2014.
Yes, Chairman.
Senator Hume.
Larry, under your fiscal analysis there, it has the greatest cost showing up on prison beds. But if you look in the language on the summary, it says by a maximum of 1 year imprisonment. If it's 1 year imprisonment, it's conducted at the local level, is that correct?
Chair Weston and Senator Hannon, if it is for 12 months or less, it is a 1145.
So is there going to be additional funds for the counties
to have grants to implement this?
The what you're seeing on the fiscal is the net impact. So to the extent that this increases local control, that would be included in the funding for them in the long run. The initial impact on what otherwise would have had to be in those community corrections grants is negative. But
I'm looking at your...
Hold on. If I could interrupt, Attorney, I think Representative Patrick has some good input.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The jail time that these people are getting under the sentencing guidelines for felony, driving while suspended, are all, they're occurring at the county jails anyway, because there's not enough to punch them up into the state penitentiary as a result of 1145. So you're not, so the counties are already dealing with these people anyway, and most counties, and I think a lot of the counties, I can't say most, but I think a lot of the counties treat a lot of these felonies as Class A misdemeanors anyway. But we're getting a lot of savings on the felony probation side of it. And that's where a lot of savings is coming from.
I understand what you're saying, Mr. Chairman. But if you look at the LFO in 2000, also 2002, the greatest impact is prison beds. Now, if Senate Bill 1145 locals are already doing this, then the cost should be somewhere borne in there, and it shows a reduction rather than an increase. So if local county jails are going to do more, it would appear to me that their cost would have to be more.
And
it shows the cost shifting to corrections.
I need to add to what I said earlier, the reference you're making to the language of the relating clause.
Right.
Because this makes most of the driving while suspended, with a few exceptions, misdemeanors, then that becomes a local government responsibility. If it were a felony, then it's a year or less, then it would be 1145 community corrections grant. But with a couple of exceptions, become Class A misdemeanors for which the state does not provide community corrections grant funding.
Is that a lessening of the penalty?
It is a lessening of the penalty.
I'm not so certain I would support that, Mr. Chairman. If your family has ever been hit by a drunk driver, I don't know. I don't want to give them too many chances. I believe somebody can make a correction in the era to their lifestyle, but to downgrade drunk driving is not my preference, and that's certainly not my intention.
We're not downgrading drunk driving, we're downgrading driving while suspended, meaning...
I don't care, they usually are drunk when they're driving with a suspended license.
Well, we'll get them for that.
We increase the penalty for that.
For drunk driving, right. Not suspended.
With the exception, it is retained as a Class C felony with a couple of exceptions, and those exceptions involve when you're operating a vehicle and a homicide or assault resulted. You can speak to that, but there are a couple areas of the law where it is retained as a felony.
Representative Matt.
It may be that people who are driving while intoxicated many times are suspended. They'll be prosecuted for driving while under the influence or while intoxicated. There are many people who actually are not intoxicated and are driving while suspended, and we end up trying to throw the book at them. And as a result, there is...
It's mainly a choice to be made about where we focus our efforts. We said we want to focus our effort on the repeat drunk drivers and put some resources into pulling them off the streets, literally, as opposed to pushing on the driving while suspended. Now, to the extent that people in the past kind of skated into a driving while suspended, I would think the prosecutors will understand that that it's no longer an easy ride just to say, well, we'll get them for driving while suspended and not deal with the drunk drive situation. I guess there's always some pre-bargaining when the evidence is weak. But the intent here was there are a lot of people driving while suspended who haven't been drinking.
If that is your intention, why aren't you also passing legislation out here that would call for confiscation of the vehicle? Nobody's held accountable for their actions. You can prosecute me to a whole freezing over for driving with a suspended license, but there's no sanction that you can put on me right now other than the fact that every time I get behind the wheel of a vehicle, and I know that if I drive that anywhere and I get stopped, I forfeit that vehicle. Why not put the meat and substance into the issue rather than saying, well, we're going to concentrate on the drug drivers over here, but the driving while suspended, we're not. I think there should be some different sanctions.
Chairman, Senator,
why don't you
time out.
Well, you're preaching to the choir. We are in recess for 30 seconds. See, this is called a motivational speech. Get one for the giver.
The chair is willing to accept the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of the...
Hold on. We need some additional important staff.
Oh, right. Just wanted to make sure that when the motion was made that it included not only the day, A9 amendments, but it also included moving the bill to... disappropriate from the Department of Corrections budget the Community Corrections grant $3,576,320, and a separate section from that would appropriate to the municipal board $1,097,124 to the Department of Corrections for distribution after the April 2000 forecast for population management issues related to this bill.
So moved.
Senator Hannon has moved the amended
LFO
recommendation dated July 10. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved. We now need the A. We've got to do the A. Is that it? A9 was in this motion.
A9
was in
this motion. All of it was in there.
Yeah, Senator Hannon did move the A9 amendment as well as the telephone report dated 7-9.
Mr. Chairman, I would now move House Bill 2002 as amended to the A gross measure and send the full weight to the committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Hannon has moved House Bill A2002 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none.
Let me say the motion's carried first.
Yeah. Okay. Seeing none, so ordered. Yeah, I love these energetic guys, you know.
We have, we're in sudden death overtime with 10 minutes left. We can't just wait to get out, and we can't do we can't do the fast one. But I appreciate your enthusiasm. Volunteer to carry on the house side.
I'll carry it.
House. Well, Representative Manning to carry it on the house. Matthew to carry it in the pearl. Senate side. Senator Kin did volunteer.
It
was my exact suggestion. The Senator Hannon will carry on the Senate side.
I can't override it, but I can vote no.
Yeah, but we already voted. We will close the work session House Bill 2002. We will reopen the work session on 3110 briefly.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Mack, for reasons of a technical fix, I move that we reconsider the earlier motion in which we sent the 3110 to Cole to be passed.
Representative Mack says moved we reconsider House Bill 3110, except back into the committee, and reconsider House Bill 3110. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, while we're reopening, this is the methamphetamine issue, right?
Okay.
I've had an opportunity to sit here and reconsider my vote, and I'd like to, with unanimous consent, I'd like to change my vote from no to yes.
Okay, well, we have to reconsider it first.
Let me get there.
Any discussion on reconsideration of House Bill 3110? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we include in the adoption of the A6 amendment with the A15 amendment the requirement that they be...
I think that I stopped you
sure.
For a moment. Senator Gordley has asked by unanimous consent that we reconsider her vote on the first amended bill. Is there any objection to allowing Senator Gordley to change her vote on the first bill? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Gordley, how would you like to vote?
Change from no to yes.
Let the record show that Senator Gordley voted yes on the first vote. So ordered. Representative Nennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we modify the amendments that were adopted earlier to make sure that A6 and A15 are synchronized and are made in conformity of each other. If I may, I'll explain the motion.
Yes.
It turns out that we delete some language from the bill with the A15s because it became a simpler bill. But the A6s assume that the language of the bill would remain in there. This would allow a legislative council to blend the two together so that the substantive language remains there as necessary to make the amendments effective.
Great. Representative Mannix has moved that we blend the A10s and A6s. Was it?
Yes.
To synchronize. Hey,
excuse me, A15s, and now I'm going to give the numbers correctly again.
Okay.
A15s and A6s.
Yeah.
So that they are synchronized and in conformity with each other.
Representative Mannix has moved that we combine and synchronize the A15s and A6s into House Bill 3110. Any discussion?
Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move that we again send it to full committee to pass as an amendment.
Representative Mannix has moved that we send House Bill 3110 to the full, House Bill 3110 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, let the record show it passed unanimously. We'll end the work session on House Bill 3110 and open the... we need to recess for 1 minute. Well, I am.
reconvene the committee meeting, and we will open work session on House Bill 3049. Department staff. This is relating to firearms.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this bill prohibits cities and counties from bringing actions against firearms manufacturers or dealers for damages when the design and manufacturing of a is according to a professor legal. It's kind of a great question. It reserves that right to the state, and it prevents the Attorney General from intervening in a suit on behalf of the state for or against firearms manufacturer or dealer. I have A-84 amendment. What I have distributed, what Mary has distributed for me, is the staff major summary that as it came out of the Judiciary Committee, and it talks about the bill, AM Ghost Bill, talks about Med Council doing a study, and it appropriates money to Med Council for that study. The dash A4 amendments that I understand were provided to us by Representative Mannix delete the provision about Med Council doing a study and delete the appropriation of the money. Because of those amendments, there is no fiscal impact. And so I have to give you the fiscal impact statement.
Mr. Chairman. Great. Representative Mannix.
I move adoption of the A4 amendment.
Representative Mannix moves adoption of the A4 amendment. Amendments. Any discussion? Any objections? The order.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mannix.
I move that the bill be sent to the full committee with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Representative Mannix has moved House Bill 3049 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to support you, but I want to reserve the right after having spoken with my local city and county officials because I have a difficult time mandating things that they can or cannot do at the local level. And out of courtesy to you and the members, I'm willing to support you inside of committee that I want to reserve the right to pass one or different way.
Senator, I appreciate your courtesy, and I also appreciate your perspective.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on motion, Senator Gorlick?
I'll be voting no. I really need to hear something from the Attorney General's office on this particular bill before I would be comfortable considering it as yes or
Mr. Chairman, Senator Gorlick, I appreciate that. Representative Mannix.
I think that's an appropriate concern. I should tell you that the Attorney General will take this bill. I'm sorry, but he's too well.
I think that's a fairly extreme statement.
He will recommend against this bill. I shouldn't say he'll hate it. If I may, Mr. Chairman, I'll speak to the reasons behind this. I'll try to encapsulate into 1 minute or less, but it's essentially
while a number of us have been willing to do other things to try to deal with firearms issues in our community and our society, I think that the litigation against firearms manufacturers is dangerous and ill-advised and needs to be carefully considered. We've seen some cities around the country who are willing to bring such litigation. It could, unlike the automobile manufacturers and the tobacco industry, the firearms industry in the United States is actually fairly small and fairly weak, relatively speaking. And if there's enough lawsuits against them, I believe that ultimately that industry could be destroyed. And that I understand that's probably the goal of that litigation. Unfortunately, once you destroy that industry, you destroy part of the opportunity of citizens to keep and bear arms. And I really believe that that litigation is just a stake driven at the heart of that, and it's really a philosophical issue, and I respect the fact that people may disagree about it, but I say very strongly that nobody should be bringing these kinds of lawsuits against firearms manufacturers unless they can make the case to the legislature that it's worth doing and the legislature can then fund it. But I also understand that there's a difference of opinion on that.
Mr. Chairman, as a life member of NRA, I accept your explanation.
but I'm not quite sure that I agree with you,
to make one size fit all and not allow a person to bring a suit to a city or county or have the intervention of the Attorney General
on behalf of one of your constituents or mine
is not the kind of prohibition I'm willing to support at this time. I'm willing to support it to get the bill out, but when you start telling people what they can and cannot do,
as far as potential litigation, I have serious reservations on that.
It's definitely a...
Mr. Chair, I'd like to say one thing to that. I think the thing that concerns me about the suits that have been brought in other parts of the country, they're not based on the fact that the firearm is in any way defective. They are based on the fact that the firearm was used and operated under the design that it was supposed to operate under. And when we start going after manufacturers, and it doesn't matter whether it's a firearm manufacturer or any other manufacturer, for producing a lawful product, and the product works lawfully, but yet we would allow government in any form to go after that manufacturer for making a product that's legal and a product that has no defects, that is operating legally, that I do believe that's legislature's responsibility to prohibit government from doing that. In Section 1, Sub 2, it does say that a city or county could bring an action against a firearms manufacturer for breach of contract or warranty after the firearms purchased by that city or county. And, you know, that would be reasonable if they somehow, you know, breached their contract or breached their warranty. But to go after a manufacturer who did nothing but produce a legal product is wrong. And that's why I firmly support this bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say for the record that I support the same concept on tobacco as a legal product. And we could use the same argument why we were engaged in a tobacco settlement. It is a legal product.
Mr. Chair.
One minute. You got 1 minute. Representative Gorman.
Senator Gorman.
When was this bill heard earlier in terms of getting information on the record about the extent of the concern, problem, issues in the Oregon?
I believe the Judiciary Committee did.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is one of the bills that was heard during Firearms Week.
Okay.
The same week that led to House Bill 2535.
Okay.
Public hearings.
Did the Attorney General testify at that point?
I don't remember, frankly, if the Attorney General testified, but I heard from folks in the Attorney General's office that they would be opposed to this.
Representative Patrick will end with Representative Patrick.
I don't have anything else to add except that I agree with Representative Lewis and Moore.
Good. Lawsuits are bad when they intend to dismantle our entire industry. It's occurring now across the country, and threats have been made for many jurisdictions. I think it's unfortunate for breach of contract or breach of warranty. It's appropriate if someone's harmed by a firearm blowing up, the spill still allows it. Will result in the industry being vital rather than having look over their shoulder all the time, because some people don't like firearms and some people want those rights taken away.
Representative Mann has moved House Bill 3049 as amended to the full committee with due pass recommendation. We've had discussion. Any objections?
Objections.
Let the record show Senator Gordley objects. Any further objections? Seeing none, House Bill 3049 as amended, receiving the constitutional majority, is declared passed and moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Carrier, we want to hear this in full.
What?
Representative Patrick wants to hear this in full.
Patrick's got all the bills today. I'll turn it in full.
Okay. Representative Lewis, carry it in full. Would you like to carry it on the floor? Would you like to?
we're spending manic surgery.
The people
manic
saving
grace.
And
manic
let the record show center and Tim were carried on the other way.
I didn't hear that, so he's asking her.
See, no objections to Senator Tim. See that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would invite you to come to work.
Oh.
I think we got
okay.